listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mattis, from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Today's episode of the show, I am joined by my esteemed colleague from DenverStiffs.com. It's Brendan Vogt.
Adam, how's it going, man? I was with you this weekend, dude. We hung out in Wyoming together. Just a little off-pod content for all the diehard fans. We hang out in real life.
Some hanging out in Wyoming sounds like a real hootenanny.
Yeah. It was not in Rollins, I'm happy to report.
That's true. It was better than your last trip to Wyoming, at least hopefully. Hopefully
yeah,
it was.
Much better. Jet skis this time, way cooler.
Jet skis are way cooler, and nobody died, which is always a real positive. So for everybody joining us, today's episode of the show is going to be a fun one. This is like peak off-season content. Brendan and I, you don't know this, but Brendan and I, from time to time, after a real exciting Nuggets win or big moment or something, we'll hang out afterwards just for a little bit. Like maybe we'll be walking to the parking lot or we'll sit out there and we'll be like, you know what? This is a safe space. Let's go crazy. Let's give our hottest takes that we actually kind of believe in. And that's what this is going to be a little bit. We're going to play What Are the Odds? And I'm going to throw out a bunch of different little scenarios. But we're going to, like, toe the line. Like, you don't have to fully commit to believing this, but maybe just kind of a little bit you believe in it. Does it sound like the plan?
That's right up my alley, dude. I'm so with this. Let's do it.
You're right. You don't like to hedge your bets. I should have had a Vlatko Chanchar for Rookie of the Year.
prop in here. You already know my odds. That's a lock.
That's a lock. Take all your money. Take it to Vegas. No, it should be good. We have a lot of different categories, kind of bounce all over the place. We're going to start, though, before the NBA season. So the news over this last week has been that nobody wants to play for Team USA. We're kind of back to the pre-redeem team era where people are looking at this as more of a, like, it's both an honor, but it's also sort of like a bummer, like an inconvenience. Is that kind of the sense you're getting? Like, these guys seem like they don't want to have to say no, but they also don't want to do it.
It does seem that way. And I do wonder, I mean, how differently do the players view the World Cup from the Olympics? I mean, maybe guys are saving themselves, and the Olympics is when they really feel the pressure to represent their country. Another point, Adam, is that this upcoming NBA season is probably the most wide open one we've had.
Yeah.
Not probably, definitely.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of guys who are on new teams, right? Who just want to get back in the lab and make sure all their focus is on winning a title, because that's on the table for a lot of these dudes. So I think that's playing into it.
I think the Olympics, I keep trying to think, why are the Olympics more prestigious? Because you always hear from Europe that the World Cup is like the more prestigious one than the Olympics.
Right.
But for players, and I think I have the answer, I think it has to do with the Olympic athletes. And there was this story, I think, on like ESPN or Sports Illustrated several years ago about the Olympic Village sort of being like Woodstock, only with like the most beautiful people on earth because they're all professional athletes. I imagine Team USA basketball is sort of like the top of the pyramid of that group. They're like the coolest people in the village.
This is your best take since Jokic will be good in 2015.
Right?
So true. That's exactly what's happening, dude. They're saving their energy, so to speak, for 2020.
Saving their energy. Going hard off on the court and off the court. Yeah, and like if you think about the FIBA World Cup, it's just a bunch of dudes and, you know, a bunch of teams. And if you lose, you get just beat up. I mean, if this team...
Yeah, there's nothing to gain, I feel like. If you're like... Like, if you're DeMar DeRozan, what do you have to gain? What do you have to gain from that?
Now, he withdrew, right?
Yeah.
Thank God. Because I actually like DeRozan as a person. I'm not a fan of his game, and it's like a peak blog boy take, so I feel bad even saying it, but it's true. Like, I don't really like his game at all, but he seems like a legitimately good dude who's sort of cursed to always be the, like, fall guy.
I know.
And
I agree
if he was
with that.
Playing on this Team USA, he would not have like upped their chances of winning, and he would have been the fall guy too.
100%. And now it's going to be our guy Paul Millsap.
Yeah, it's kind of true. He does fill that role. He's like, it's funny that Hawks team from like 2014 and 15 one of the greatest regular season teams that we've seen of this decade, and they're almost a punchline because nobody ever like took them seriously. And it's kind of too bad. It's like, no, they overachieved in the regular season. It's not they underachieved in the playoffs. They were an awesome regular season team. All right, so I'll start with this one. What are the odds that Serbia actually wins a gold medal?
Okay, so I think they're really high. I think, okay, so to medal, I think it's like super high, right? Yeah. I mean, who's France, Spain, US, Canada? But I mean, I think you really have to like this Serbian team. Jokic might be the best player in the tournament. Probably will be the best player in the tournament. So
somebody told me Giannis was playing.
Oh, well, that would.
Yeah, so either him or Giannis. Depends on how you
feel about jump shooting. I'm just kidding. That's too hot for 11 minutes.
Really
hot. but yeah, I mean, Greece probably isn't as big a threat as Serbia. So I think Serbia has a real chance to bring home the gold. I don't know if that's an odd, saying real chance is odds, but I don't know odds. So
give me your odds. Give me a percentage.
I think there is a 40% chance that Serbia wins the gold medal.
That's insane. All right, so you are bad at all. It's 40% seems awfully high. So what are the odds that the U.S. does not win at 60? Or I guess that they win at 60%?
Yes. Then the other 40 is Serbia. That's
and there's
it.
No other team that can win. Yeah, this That's is definitely correct. Crazy odds. I think the odds are really, really favorable at like 15 to 20%.
Yeah,
which
of
is,
course. That's yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing about the World Cup that the World Cup is just close enough to NBA basketball for it to be like, okay, whatever, but not close enough to not drive me crazy. And there's some rules about it that I think are just set up to upset teams. And that's kind of what the World Cup is. So I could see Serbia getting upset by like some scrub team and it just being because, you know, like 65 to 62 because the games are short and the foul calling is so stupid. And
I mean, their odds of not winning the title are like
60%.
Way higher. I mean, it's 90%. But like hot box of hot takes, baby, 40%. Lock it in. I'll tell you this. It is 100% odds that if Serbia is playing USA for a medal, I am pulling for the Serbs. 100%.
Do you feel weird at all about it?
Nope.
Me neither.
Not even a little bit. Yeah. No conflict there at all. Really easy decision.
It's because people have this weird view of patriotism. I love the United States. I love America. I'm proud of what it stands for. I don't need my basketball team to like be representative of that. You know what I mean? Like, I love Jokic.
100%. Yeah, dude. Me rooting for Jokic over Paul Mills. If that makes me like communist or whatever, sign me up.
Now you have me worried for Mills. I think he's going to make the team.
Yeah, he is going to make the team.
Everybody's dropping out, and he just seems like the perfect like end of bench guy vet that ends up playing 25, 30 minutes in the championship game.
Yeah, now he's going to play a lot because no one else. It's like they're going to call Mason Plumlee pretty soon, so I would hope Millsap makes the team.
Well, so Andre Drummond is like going to be the starting center. It's just, I mean, come on, man. Maybe Miles Turner, who is way better, but Andre Drummond, like, imagine watching a game in which the other team just hacks Andre Drummond for 40 minutes.
Oh my God.
Whatever. It's what's going to happen.
I know. I'm really like, I'll tell you this though. I do not think the United States wins. It's not just that. I mean, their roster is obviously depleted, but I mean, how motivated are those guys going to be? Like, I don't know, man. I just think I could see like these other teams low key having more chemistry than whatever squad USA is going to roll out here. So I think there's a real possibility that these teams that actually know how to play with each other can grab those medals. So I would not be surprised if USA misses out.
Let's get into some Nugget stuff. What are the odds Gary Harris shoots 40% from the three-point line or better next season?
That's a great question. I think
in a lot of ways, I feel like this is a core question about the Nuggets.
Yeah.
It's almost like, how good is Gary Harris? That's kind of what it is.
I think of Gary Harris as a 40% three-point shooter. I do. I know he wasn't last season. I'm 30%, 40%, because we don't health. I don't know, you know, health.
Yeah.
What kind of opportunities does he get? How involved in the offense is he versus just taking cold spot up threes from the corners every now and then? So there's a lot of factors here. But I think there's a good chance, a sizable chance that Gary's up over 40.
So he shot 42% in 2017, 39.6%, so basically 40% in 18, and then just 34% last year. So really it's back-to-back years of 40% and then one down one. I think the odds are probably like 55%, maybe a little bit higher.
Yeah.
I just, when he's healthy, I think he knocks down his shots.
Well, that's, I feel like that's the if, right? I mean, we never knew precisely what was wrong with Gary. Obviously, yeah, something was holding him back, but there was never a disclosed injury. He never had a surgery. He always told us he was fine, which you can expect him to do. So because of that sort of enigmatic nature, mysterious nature to those injuries, I'm not sure I can pencil him in for 40 yet. But that is the type of shooter that a healthy Gary is.
What are the odds Bol Bol plays 50 or more minutes for the Denver Nuggets next year?
How many did Tyler Lydon play?
So that's how I came. Yeah, that's how I came up with this. He played 2 minutes his rookie season, and he played 96 his second season. So you kind of split the difference between those two. You get 49. I round up to 50. So if he gets the average of Tyler Lydon over the last 2 years, is basically what you're looking at. We don't even know if he's on a two-way, by the way. Like, we don't even know what kind of contract he'll be on.
Yeah, no, I think the odds are pretty high that he plays less than 50. I mean, I think it's over 50% that he plays less than 50. I mean, Bol Bol is not – even if they are high on him and they do give him a full spot and he's ready to go, like, this guy's not going to get – he's going to play in the fourth quarter against the Suns with 3 minutes left, right?
Yeah.
So I can't imagine him playing more than 50.
That's basically like, what, 15 games worth of 3 minute garbage time, which is kind of a lot because, one, we don't know if he'll be with the team. We don't know if he'll be suited up. If him and Thomas Welsh are both in town, like, does Thomas Welsh get to suit up ahead of him? I mean, questions like that. So, sadly, I'm going to go south there, too. I don't know if we'll see him at all other than G League.
Love him, though, man. I was in a Chiba hut today, and I got to explaining to the cashier what I do for a living, which I regret.
I think you just walk up and say, "Hey, I'm Brent. I cover the Denver Nuggets. I don't know if
you heard." Yeah, you may have recognized me from Adam's podcast. I was like, "Who's Adam?" But this dude had 6 follow-up questions about Bol Bol. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I find it interesting that you put the emphasis on the second bowl. You say Bol Bol.
Is that interesting?
It is very interesting because I call him Bol Bol.
Bol Bol. Bol 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 Bol. I do not know, Adam. We'll have to ask him next time we get a chance.
Oh, he'll hate that question. Yes, I'm certain of
it. I will not ask him that.
I love that my guy Vic Lombardi went in with a bunch of Bol Bol questions on first day of media day.
Oh my God. Bol Bol was like, get me out of here.
It really cracked me up. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jamal Murray making an all-star team, leading the team in scoring, and a bunch of stuff about Michael Porter Jr. We'll be right back. Back here on Locked On Nuggets podcast with my guest Brendan Vogt from DenverStiffs.com, and I want to encourage you to check out all of the Locked On Network. So many great shows. Locked On NBA, which I co-host with Anthony Irwin on Fridays. Locked On Broncos, Cody Rourke. Locked On Rockies with Jenna Garcia. Lots of good stuff. If you're a fan of college teams, there's a bunch of those going on as well. So check out the entire network. All right, Brendan, we're going to get to Jamal Murray and MPJ, but I want to start with Jeremy Grant. A lot of people are talking about this one. I don't know if I necessarily see it, but what are the odds Jeremy Grant starts at power forward by the end of the year?
I think that these odds are low. It's on the table. I know everyone thinks the way I sort of look at this question is let's put ourselves in the shoes of Michael Malone, who is a guy who I think will ride Paul Millsap until we know for sure that there's not a lot left in that tank.
Yeah.
You know, Millsap is the extension of Malone on the court defensively. He echoes Malone's prioritization of defense on the court. He's probably the best defender before Grant's arrival. So I just think he's going to stick with, Malone's a real old school coach who will stick with an old school guy like Millsap. Yeah. But I do think that we will see Grant out there closing at times, depending on who they're playing. And it might be a sort of frequent thing, but I don't think Millsap loses his starting spot this season. So I'll go 20%.
I think it's lower than that even. I mean, injuries aside, let's throw that out. I just think why mess with a good thing? And right now it's a really, really good thing. I think Jeremy Grant's going to play a lot of minutes, and I wouldn't be surprised if he plays more minutes than Millsap. And I wouldn't even be surprised if actually the Nuggets just look better. I don't know what the numbers are going to say, but Paul Millsap, he makes the defense so good, but the defense, you don't always notice. It doesn't always stand out when guys are missing jump shots and Denver's rebounding it. But when you score, it stands out a lot. And I think that the Nuggets are going to score a lot with Jeremy Grant on the court.
Yeah.
I think he'll play a lot of minutes, but I just don't see why would you why would you not start Paul Millsap? I mean, maybe we'll come back to this and feel stupid, but I just see it. I'm going to say 10%.
I think there's a weird sort of narrative floating out there. His Paul Millsap's final playoff game last season was not good. And yes. And they picked him up for a $30 million option. So the sort of Denver Post side of this argument, I think, carries a lot of weight right now. But I do think that that's sort of like a recency bias, almost revisionist history kind of thing. The Nuggets were great with Millsap last season. I'm with you. Don't break that up. Not yet.
My biggest regret so far with my writing career is that I've never created a fake writer at Denver Stiffs called Matt Kislow. I just think it would be the best. Matt Kislow with all the classic like sports columnist takes.
Adam, I've created and deleted so many Twitter accounts. You have no idea.
There's a Matt Kislow out there somewhere.
There's a lot of them. Just Bart Fizla. I wasn't sure if that one would catch. Why the Denver Nuggets winning a title is actually a bad thing.
Overrated. For sure. The 85 Nuggets were better. Okay. What are the odds Jamal Murray makes an all-star team?
Really low. Really low. So right?
That means different things to different people.
Yeah, that's whatever, dude. Your game is flawed.
All of your percentages are like just like vague answers. Like, yeah, somewhat.
I told you that from the jump. This is the first time I've ever put odds on it. They're not even odds. They're just percentages. Real 10% or lower. 10% is probably high. The West is just stacked, man. And Murray could make that big leap we're expecting and still not be there.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure, no doubt about it.
I mean, even like the De'Aaron Foxes of the world, right? Who right now are better players. So
yeah, man, I don't know about that. I'm gonna say like 2%. Like, what would have to happen for? First of all, Nuggets would have to be the one seed by the All-Star break or by the end of voting, right? They'd have to be the number one.
Yeah, no doubt. Yes,
because Jokic is. Would be the first guy to make it for the Nuggets, and then Jamal would be the second. So if you're the number one seed, you can maybe make the case. If maybe he's having a 50-40-90 year up until that point and over north of 20 points per game, I think all three of those things would have to happen.
And Jamal's thus far in his still infantile career, a notoriously slow starter. So yeah. He would have to really, really reverse that narrative this season. So I just think it's really unlikely, and that's not a knock on Jamal, good lord, before someone accuses us of that. It's just a stacked Western Conference.
Yeah, you just have to lean into it, man. I put the odds like at 1% or 2%. I just don't see it.
Even 10%.
Even if he earns it, there's a chance he would. There's like a 50-50 chance whether he'd make it, just because All-Star voters are always a year behind. Right. Jamal Murray leads the team in scoring.
High.
Yeah, I think this one's relatively high.
Relatively high. I'll say it's over 50%.
Really? No, that's crazy.
I don't know. I see a big jump for him.
So he averaged 18.2 last year. Jokic 20.1. So 2 points.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's Jokic. What did Jokic jump up to in the playoffs? Like 25. I mean, that's a usage.
Yeah,
and touches thing, and right? All that. So. Yes, I don't know. I think it's really conceivable that Jamal gets up to 21, 22, and Jokic doesn't make a big jump. But
so both Jokic and Murray made basically a 1.5 point per game increase from the season prior.
Okay.
So they both had the kind of the same increase. I think the odds are high. I would say he's probably tied with Jokic for odds of leading the team in scoring, maybe slightly behind, in large part because I just don't think Jokic is going to try to, and I think Jamal Murray
That's
might.
That's the argument. Yes, precisely.
So last year, Murray took half a shot more per game than Jokic.
And that, but you know, now Murray's coming in with a full season of starting and playoffs under his belt. I just wonder how different he'll be in terms of like confidence and wanting. I mean, he's always a confident player, but you know, how aggressive he'll be as a scorer. I could see that sort of growing season to season. So, let me ask you this: is there anyone else? Could it be Gary? Could it be? It's probably Jamal or Jokic, right?
I honestly do not think it could be anybody else. I think the odds of the field would be like at 1%. I mean, right, who would it be? Right. I mean, in theory, Michael Porter Jr. is just awesome. And it's like, oh man, this guy's like just a pure scorer. Gary Harris, maybe. If you look at Gary Harris's trajectory over the last couple years, you know, 2 years ago, you would have said, okay, maybe I could see that happening. He was only a point per game behind Jokic 2 years ago. But, you know, it would be kind of a shock for him to make that.
I'm going to change my answer. 40% for Jamal with you know, 60 Jokic. I don't think it could be anyone else. So.
I agree. And well, actually, you know what? I'm going to leave 5% open for Bradley Beal, which I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there just for fun.
Wow. The hot takes are out.
Yeah, they're really out. All right. What are the odds that I'm going to phrase this a little uniquely, that Michael Porter Jr. is one of the five best players on the team? Doesn't necessarily mean he'll start, just that he is one of the five best players.
Next season?
Yes.
I think that's close to zero, man. I think it's close to zero.
Why do you say that?
Yes. First of all, we don't know that Michael Porter Jr. is going to play more than 30 games. Like, I know that's the idea.
Yes.
I know it's the expectation, but again, he scrimmaged for like 5 minutes and sprained his knee. So there's the health, which is a big bit. Like, we really can't just pencil him in for a full season. And then there's the fact that I think one thing people have lost sight of with MPJ is that even the best rookies rarely make a positive impact on a good basketball team right away. And I mean, like, you have to be like LeBron, Ben Simmons. I know MPJ is supposedly cut from this cloth in terms of pure talent, but that has to be proven, man. And I just, like, even if you subscribe to the brightest MPJ timeline, this rookie season's probably going to be underwhelming compared to what you've been fed over these last 2 to 3 months.
If you look at the rookie seasons of the guys that did do the year off, Joel Embiid, his rookie season, 20 points, 8 rebounds. By far the team's leading scorer. Now, they weren't a great team. They only won 28 games, so it's a little difference there. But by far the best player. You look at the following year when they get Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons averages, let me pull it up, he averages 15.8 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. That's his rookie season, 16-8-8. And now, you're right, at least at the high school level, they were equal prospects. Ben Simmons and Michael Porter Jr., maybe Michael Porter Jr. actually a better prospect at the age. So,
you
could say this year off, I'm a huge believer in this. The year off is such an advantage. It's such a huge advantage, both physically for your body to just sort of recover. We know it's been a hot topic over the last couple of days with the article. I don't remember where it was, who had written the article about how these players are just so overworked, and the year off a lot of times helps the body.
Baxter Holmes, right?
Baxter Holmes, yes. Yeah. And I think that there's something to that. So if he is this talented, he should not be a rookie. And that's kind of your argument's right about, rookies are rarely good, but he's really more of a, I think, a second year player than he is a rookie.
I would just counter by saying he hasn't played basketball since high school. So he's not a second. He's like a negative year player.
Joel Embiid missed 2 years though and came right into 20-12 or 20-8 or whatever it was.
That's a good point. Okay, so then
Griffin, 22 and a half and 12 rebounds, 4 assists his rookie season.
So here's the next layer, is that the Nuggets are a better team, right? So than these scenarios we've articulated.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's run through it. I mean, 5 is a lot. Like, I jumped straight to 0, but that's...
Yeah, go through your 5 best players in the Nuggets next year.
Yeah, so this is where my argument's going to fall apart. So Jokic, Murray, Gary, for sure. Millsap right now.
I think Millsap almost for sure too.
Yeah, for sure. I feel that was kind of blasphemous.
There's a drop off after that, in my opinion.
There is, but we're going Malik Beasley, Jeremy Grant, Monte Morris,
Will Barton. I think Will Barton's number 5. Quite frankly, I think he will be this. Oh, actually, Jeremy Grant. I think Jeremy Grant might be.
Yeah, or Jeremy Grant. So I just, like, Porter Jr. would have to be A, healthy, B, as good as everyone says he is, and C, getting his looks within this team that doesn't need him to win 54 games. So to me, all those things make it an unlikely. When you push it all the way out to 5, though, I got to bump up the odds. So let me go. I'll go up to 20% for whatever the hell that means.
Ooh, that's pretty high. I'm gonna go 10%. I think it sounds like he'll be in the rotation. I think he'll be good, but the Nuggets just have so many good players. I mean, I think Monte, Barton, Plumlee, Grant, those guys are really good players. Beasley, Wancha. There's just so many good players that he would have to.
Yeah.
If he's one of the 9 best players, then the Nuggets are in really good shape.
Right. Hey, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
And if he's not, the Nuggets are still in really good shape. Really weird thing in like the national conversation around the Nuggets right now. People are simply attempting to point out how talented MPJ is, but it keeps sliding its way into these like poorly worded headlines of like, if he's this good, then the Nuggets are a problem. The Nuggets are already a problem.
I love it. This is the hot takes. Let's get it.
Because they have Nikola Jokic. God, no,
you're
damn
right. It's not even hot though. You're absolutely right. It is weird how when Michael Porter Jr. got hurt, some people were like, well, I don't know about the Nuggets. It's like, come on, man.
He was going to. He was never part of his calculation. What is that?
Yeah. What are the odds MPJ wins Rookie of the Year? Well, I'll tell you, in Vegas, they're 16 to 1 or 18 to 1.
Okay. I'll go with that then. I trust Vegas. I'll say this. He could really miss a lot of time. Like, I don't know. I just don't know why he got him penciled in for a full season. I need to see like a week first. So to me, until we know he's out there consistently, he's not really a candidate for these things.
So Zion is the overwhelming favorite for Rookie of the Year. His odds to win it are like astronomical. It's ridiculous. I think he's like a -3 to so 1 to 3 odds or whatever to win it. You can't make any money. Everybody else, I mean, I don't even know who Ja Morant, who I don't think is going to do it. Darius Garland, like the rest of the field is sort of even. So to me, Zion really is far and away. I had somebody, I'm not going to call him out because I don't want to. It was another like personality. Somebody today in my mention saying that. Zion is like the most overrated prospect and won't even be in the league in like 4 years. And
you should definitely call that person out.
I couldn't believe the take. I did not take him to task. It was like on Twitter. I was just like, okay, well, there's nothing to be gained from this.
Yeah,
discussion.
Zion's probably going to be good, but
he had
a
box plus minus a 20. And I know you don't have to like love stats, but like if you have north of 10 at the college, especially as a freshman, every single player on that list is great. He had a 20. I mean, it's just the guy, if he was not good at the NBA level, it'd be the biggest statistical outlier of all time.
His legs have to fall off or else he's a rotation player at bare minimum.
But after that, after him, I mean, honestly, I like MPJ's odds. He doesn't even have to put up a ton of numbers. If he just shoots an efficient, like 40% from the 3-point line, grabs 10, 11, 12 points per game, but is in the back half of the season, he's really good. I mean, stuff like that, which, you know what? He could get that. I mean, if he's a pure scorer, like everybody says, he could easily knock down a couple threes a game, get to the rim, get to the line a few times. I mean, it's not that big of a stretch.
You're right. And I mean, who are the other camp? I mean, RJ Barrett in New York, right. Maybe.
Yeah.
Because he'll get a lot of touches. But I wonder, an interesting question. I mean, I know what the answer is in terms of what the Nuggets need out of MPJ. But based on what you just said, do MPJ's odds of winning Rookie of the Year go up if he takes on a smaller role, like you said, you know what I mean? And just focuses on making sure he's hitting 40%, hitting his open looks, instead of looking at the Nuggets the way maybe RJ might look at New York.
Might be an article coming up before too long about MPJ's like best path to success, because I think
I'm not writing it, am I? looking forward to that piece.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jokic's MVP odds, the Nuggets winning a championship. We're going to get crazy. We'll be right back. I'm not even sure it's crazy that we're talking about the Nuggets championship. I got to stop saying that, because while it's the odds are, I think, a bit long, it's not crazy. It feels crazy to say it's not crazy, but the truth is it's not crazy. So, but before we get to that, let's ask this one. What are the odds, and I'm here with Brendan Vogt, Denver Stiffs, what are the odds that the Nuggets have the same roster after the All-Star break that they have to start the season?
This is my favorite question, mostly because it's the one that I came up with. I don't. Oh, man, this is really, really hard. I actually don't know my answer. Can I just bounce it back to you first?
So you came up with the question and you don't have an answer. This is classic Brendan right here. What are the odds? I'd say high, medium, low, like not even numbers.
Screw you. Get Matt Moore for your next odds pod.
Nuggets have the same roster after the All-Star break. I'm going to put the odds at 15%. Really low. I think the Nuggets are as likely as almost any team in the NBA to make a move. And here's why. You got two players on expiring contracts, on big expiring contracts, and Paul Millsap and Mason Plumlee. Now, I don't think that Paul Millsap, the Nuggets are itching to trade him, but there is a scenario in which Jeremy Grant is just as good, in which Michael Porter Jr. and Wancho both need minutes, and you look at that $30 million expiring, and you can get something valuable back. Now, I don't think Denver will do it, because Paul Millsap is such an important part of the team and will be an important part of the playoffs, but there's at least a scenario in which you could say, you could talk yourself into, you know, oh, maybe he can be traded for a Draymond Green or something like that. Some opportunity, a perfect opportunity arises. But Mason Plumlee, you know, he's a great candidate. And then on top of that, you have extensions coming up for Wancho and Beasley. And if you're not prepared to make offers, or for them, if you're not certain that they're going to sign whatever offer you can afford, what is the point of bringing those guys in, especially when both of them, I think, can be replaced? They're both great players. It's just that they can't be great players for Denver because they have even better players ahead of them in the rotation.
Strong agree. I mean, we know teams like Malik Beasley. I mean, you don't have to have like high level insider conversations to get that sense. Wancho's more of a, he has to play himself back into that place.
I don't even think he is. He's not going to get you a ton of value, but I think that like there's 20 teams in the NBA that if you offered him, they would send back an equal contract or you know, something for him.
He's tall and he shoots. There's a place for you on a roster. So, and like you said, I mean, Mason Plumlee, to the point where I might be a tiny bit surprised if he's still on their roster by the end of the season. He's a real candidate for me as well. So,
and unlike Millsap, I'm not sure you need Plumlee in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I agree. And also, I mean, if you're a team like Plumlee's not just an expiring, he's a guy who's going to come in and play hard and like not disrupt your locker room. Like he's the perfect kind of expiring. So there's value there on that market. And also, okay. So follow up question. What are the odds that this is a big trade? Is this Bradley Beal? Or are you just thinking that something small happens?
I think it's 50-50 because I think the Nuggets will be in position to go for a Bradley Beal type deal. I mean, they have so many young players that if you're Washington, you want to get off the money and you can get the expiring and Mason Plumlee. And then you also get a couple really good players that, look, if you're Washington and you have to reset and you need some shooters around John Wall because unfortunately you're stuck with John Wall, why not get Beasley and Wancho? That's a great foundation that you probably can get on a good deal that still allows you to like rebuild with those players. Beasley and Wancho aren't going to make you great, but they're going to be really good players for when your great players arrive. And so to me, I think there's a really good chance there, but I also think there's a good chance that Denver just says, you know what, Wancho's a good player. He's never going to play for us because MPJ's good and all these other guys are ahead of him. And you get a solid first round pick, like a good, maybe even a late lottery type pick out of it.
And this could circle back, Adam, to our question about Gary Harris, right? I mean, if Gary Harris looks healthy and you're winning these games, you're far less incentivized to make that trade, right? So, I mean, there's a world in which, given his defensive prowess, albeit a little undersized at the two, that if Gary Beck gets back up to the 40%, of course Beal is a superior player, but how big is that drop off to the point where you're eager to toss in assets just to make it happen? Final point on the Beal thing for me, I only think there's one team that's both in a position that might view themselves as Beal away and has the assets to really drive up the price for Denver. I do think the last three star trades were strong outliers and don't really dictate the market right now. I think unless Boston gets involved, Denver can make a trade for Beal that no one else can even touch. Because of that, I don't know how much they'll have to give up. So it's something I do have my eye on. Do you think Bradley Beal makes the Nuggets that much more of a title contender?
It's a great question. I love Gary Harris and I think he's underrated and I think he's become sort of underrated. So part of me thinks that you're improving on an area where you're already strong. In a weird way, the player I would trade for him, I'm almost more rather trade Jamal Murray. And I know that's a weird take, but,
Murray hater.
I know. This is a big year. I'm ready to jump on the Jamal Murray like bandwagon. I think he's a very good player. It's not like I think he sucks. I think he's a very good player, but you know, is he your second best player on a championship team? I feel more comfortable saying that that Bradley Beal is that than Jamal Murray at the moment. But you know, Jamal Murray is young, and we're always grading him as if he wasn't as young as he is. So, let's get out of here before my fans riot. Jokic for MVP. What are the odds?
Lock. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm looking at, excuse me, 2020 odds right now. Giannis is the favorite, right?
Yeah.
At +300. So Anthony Davis is +1,000. Jokic all the way down at +1,600. I don't understand how Jokic isn't at least at that Davis line, if not higher. Davis and James are going to cannibalize each other. They would both have to play 82 or like 80, not 82, but and actually like avoid that load management thing. Same goes for Kawhi. There's probably some voter fatigue with Harden. So I'm really looking at it at Giannis, Curry, and Jokic as my personal favorites. Yeah. So I'm gonna bump Jokic up to plus 800.
Okay, 8-1. Perfect. I think it's 12.5%. I'm a little bit higher than that, I believe, because I think that Jokic, I'm with you that I think there's only a handful of players. I'm going to throw Anthony Davis also into that list. I don't know that Kawhi or Paul George are going to play enough minutes. Jokic, to me, I'm going to go 20%. I think they're sneaky, really good odds. There is not, what's the worst lineup? I did a thing about this the other day on Monday show. There's just not that many bad lineups you can throw out. And Jokic, when he has good offensive lineups, just crushes, just mows everybody over. I think his numbers are going to be great. I think his efficiency is going to be great. The only thing I wonder about is he going to be too tired from FIBA? You know, that is he going to hit a little bit of a wall down the stretch? That's the only kind of concern I have. But you know what? He swore at the end of last year he wasn't tired. So,
dude, maybe Jokic is in shape.
No, I know he's in shape, but
throw your worries in a sack, bro. You're fine.
Yeah, but he just
that's from Pineapple Express.
He just played 96 games. So, you know what I mean? I mean, it's more not about him being in shape. It's just that there's a mental fatigue as well.
What you're underrating is how easy it's going to be for them to win.
Maybe.
It's not going to take a lot.
Hope you're right. It'll make for a fun year. Nuggets are the number one seed.
I like the Clippers.
In the regular season?
I do.
Okay.
After that, I like the Nuggets. And after that, I like Utah. So I don't know how to put a percentage on this. I think the Nuggets, to me, are the second most likely team to finish first in the West.
Yeah, I'm going to go all the way up to 25%. I think they're really high, and you know, that's the field is 75%. So Nuggets, I think, have maybe the best odds. I think they should hit the ground running, and I also just think they're really good. They were the number two seed last year without Will Barton, a negative Will Barton.
They lost 280 minutes total from last year's rotation total, and those are Lydon, Lyles, IT. I mean,
yeah.
in a year where half the league changed jerseys, why doesn't Denver get off to a hot start? Why don't they win a lot of regular season games? The answer is they will for me. So I'm with you. I mean,
I hope they have a tough early schedule because they'll be ready for it.
Yeah, I agree. I expect them to get out to another hot start, but I'm also wrong about everything. So I'm sorry in advance if they don't.
And what are the odds the Nuggets miss the playoffs?
Man, it's so low to me. It's really so low.
I think so too.
I think it's less than 10%.
10% to me is mostly an injury hedge. Like, I think the funny thing is, I think the Nuggets can survive injuries to just about anyone, including Jokic, if it's like a 20-game injury.
Oh, wow.
If it's a 20-game injury. I don't think they can lose him for like a Will Barton level. But, you know, if he missed 20 games, Plumlee's good. They got these other guys. They'll struggle to 500, but I think they'll stay afloat.
Yeah. Yeah, look, you're right. I think Jokic would have to miss half, if not more, of the season. That's the way I look at it. So however you want to throw a percentage on that, 5, 10, whatever that looks like to you, outside of Jokic getting hurt, to me, there's no way this team misses the playoffs. Even in the West, I have them like right below freaking Milwaukee as like locks for a playoff spot.
What are the odds the Nuggets win 60 or more games? They're only projected at like 51.5, I think.
Which is absurd to me, man. That's absurd.
I think Vegas is betting on a couple things. Betting on a lot of more teams to be good, which I think is true. But also, you always forget that teams tank down the stretch, and that's where a lot of these wins come in. Because you look at Sacramento's really good. That's a tough game. But is it a tough game in March if they're like out of the playoffs?
Right.
It's no longer tough.
I congrats to the Suns for picking up Ricky Rubio, but I don't know why that means the Nuggets are going to win 50 games now. And what was the original question?
Nuggets to win 60 or more.
That's low, right? But it's super on the table.
It's only 6 games more than last year. It's not that low.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to say
25.
I was going to say about 18%. There's a real chance that they can just get hot and do it. But I'm not picking it, but there's at least a chance.
It's less than 1-4, 20%.
The Nuggets started 9-1 last year. They'd have to start like that again. What are the odds?
I kind of think they will, though.
What are the odds the Nuggets win fewer than 54 games, which is what they did this year?
like just as low. No, fewer than 54. No, that's reasonable. 40%.
I'll go 50%. I think 54 is probably a good number, which 54 next year would be like 56 this year. So it would be an improvement. But I could see it happen. I think they're going to be right around that number. And you know there'll be a bunch of people that will write articles saying like, oh, Nuggets didn't improve at all, which will always be fun.
Right.
What are the odds the Nuggets make it to the Western Conference Finals?
It's so hard to know, right? I mean, what's their path? Like, I don't like their matchup with either of those Los Angeles teams, of course. I don't like their matchup with Houston still, although I low-key like it better after the Russ trade.
I do too, yeah.
I mean, Utah could still be a really tough out for them, although it might be a slightly better matchup again with Favors gone. I think that's that they do make it to the Western Conference Finals. 20%.
Yeah, I think I'm at 25%. I like them a little bit more. I keep talking myself more and more into them. The playoffs are still tricky. They still have, I think, a little bit of learning and growing up to do. But you know what? At the end of the day, all the teams have a flaw, and Denver does too. But I'm just like, you know what? Denver's good. they're just so good. They have so many good players. I'm going to go 25%, which maybe I'll regret saying that. What are the odds they make it to the finals?
Well, it's never happened before, so I think it's like really, really low. I mean, I think it's near zero, 5%. I just don't see them beating either Los Angeles team.
I'm with you on it. I'm gonna go 7%, and going to the Western Conference Finals, they can get the perfect bracket, kind of like they did this year. They could just beat a team that's down. There could be an injury, or they can just beat them outright. But to go all the way to the finals, that means they've got to win like. Even if you get the easy route, you still beat like two really good teams. You still beat like a Utah and a Lakers, or a Utah and a Clippers, or whatever, like, or a Warriors and a Clippers. Like, there's just no, you're gonna have to win two really tough series, and I think the odds become exponentially worse that they keep winning. Yeah. If they get one of those, I could see it. You know, beat Portland in a first round, beat the Spurs in a first round, I could see it. Beat Utah in a second round, I could see it. It's gonna be tough. Beat all of those teams plus the Clippers in the final. Like, it's just, it gets harder and harder.
Really, it's on the table, but it's even in our hot take state of mind, it's pretty hard to foresee.
Last one, a championship. What are the odds the Nuggets win the whole thing this year?
I'm copying 538. 3%. 3%.
I love it. I'm going to go 3.5%, be slightly more optimistic.
Why not?
If they go to the finals, it's only one more series. Milwaukee, Philadelphia, both beatable.
Oh, dude, there's no, like, Milwaukee or Philly are not, like, once, if you've cleared that Western Conference hurdle, or the Clippers or the Lakers, there's no reason you should look at, you know, the Bucks or the Sixers as unbeatable, no reason at all. So I actually think their chances are higher once they've gotten to the finals. It's that Western Conference finals that scares me.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4%. I just raised it up. I just talked myself into it. 4%.
Let's go.
The Nuggets have a 4% chance at the title this year, according to my own internal calculations.
What are the odds that you will bet thousands of dollars with me on Jokic to win MVP?
0%.
Okay, it's worth a shot.
It was worth a shot. Well, this was fun. It was a fun way to kind of, we're in the deep off season, just starting it, so it was kind of fun to see where we are.
Fun for you. I dropped out of math in like junior year of high school, so I don't know how percentages work.
You just said high, low, or medium. It was great.
Yep.
Everybody else, thanks for tuning in. This was a fun little midweek break. Plan to be back at the end of the week with another episode. Until then, have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.